Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey everyone, this is Carla, and I am really excited about the America's Jobs Team episode that you are about to listen in on. I had an opportunity to just connect with Jenna Cavanaugh from the Invest Buffalo Niagara team. And Jenna works with their executive team, really setting the strategic direction for the organization. She's been in economic development for a while, and they have some really cool things going on in the Invest Buffalo region, as you will hear. And I'm just excited for you to hear about her leadership journey. So tune in and listen to Jenna's story. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the America's Jobs Team. I'm Carla Soans, and I am delighted to have Jenna with us today. And Jenna is from Buffalo, Niagara region, so Invest Buffalo. And I had the amazing opportunity of getting to check out Buffalo myself a couple weeks back. And what an amazing resurgence Buffalo has had. It was an excellent time to be in Buffalo, and I was thrilled to be able to see on the ground what I had heard was happening, but to be able to meet some of the faces, including Jenna, that are really behind the scenes working so diligently to share Buffalo's great stories. So Jenna, I am so happy that you carved out a little bit of time to be on the podcast with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Carla. And we loved having you tour the region, visit the city, and get to see all the things that we truly love about this area.
Yeah, it was awesome. And when I was there and I got to meet you and some of your other leadership at Invest Buffalo and just in the community in general, amazing CEOs of companies that love doing life and working and are growing their companies and starting their companies in Buffalo. It was a great time. But one of the things I walked away with was just a revalidation for me of how amazing the work is of economic developers. When I think about what you all have been able to do in Buffalo and what you're continuing to now share is that city has really come out of its own recession or you know, harder times, and you kind of see that resurgence. So often there's men and women working so tirelessly behind the scenes to recreate the image of an entire city to further that economic development effort. And today on today's podcast, I really want to pick your brain on your leadership journey, because I believe that the work that you've done has made a huge difference in Buffalo. So if you're ready, I'm going to throw some leadership questions your way.
I'm ready. Give them to me, Carla.
Okay. So as you know, and you've faced, we're living in some interesting times. We kind of have a lot of divisiveness in our political world, and we have communities that have experienced tremendous hardship that are starting to come back out of that, but it creates a lot of just demand on economic developers to service so many various different needs and for different people with different vantage points. And so I'm curious to hear from you. As you reflect on your journey in Buffalo, what is one of the biggest challenges that you feel like is facing leaders today as they, you know, work with communities or just in even in companies? Like what are one of the challenges that you think is one of the biggest hurdles right now?
That's a good question. I think leaders in business and in economic development really need to evolve with the changing times. Evolve the thinking and really understand what does that mean to evolve? How do you have policies that you help shape that, processes and strategies? In our region and in Invest Buffalo Niagara, we're really committed to and focused on strategic planning. And I think that's one of the, at the heart of our region and the heart of its success for the region and our growth has been the fact that we've come together as a community and as an organization and have had strategic plans and are looking at the issues that the community is facing holistically and putting together initiatives to help change and modify. Really, strategic planning is at the core of how we as a community and how we as an organization in Invest Buffalo Niagara have evolved. We've put together plans and initiatives that address and are addressing many of the challenges that we're facing today. And there's always roadblocks as a community grows as. And the plan is something that should be malleable and flexible. And as a leader, you need to be able to be flexible and nimble and change with those times as well.
I love what you're saying, actually. I really do. I think what I experienced in Buffalo was your team's amazing ability. And I think it goes back to what you're already talking about, an amazing ability to have a plan. You have to have that vision of where you want the community to go so that you can stay true to what, you know, your purpose is and what the community needs in your role, but also to have the ability to be agile and to flex with, you know, there's always going to be a new opportunity that you didn't see coming. And if you're so stuck to your plan, you're going to miss the opportunity to be a part of that great next thing. But on the same token, there's lots of ways that you can get down a rabbit hole. And I think what you're trying to say is one of those biggest challenges is navigating all the opportunities and the rabbit hole. And what you need to do in order to have that is to have at least a foundation and a strategic plan and some basic research behind that in order to have at least a skeleton of a roadmap so that you can make decisions off of that.
Right, because you have to make decisions quickly too. I mean, there's so much information and opinions coming at us in today's information technology-based, you know, society. And we have to be able to be fairly responsive to that and responsive to new opportunities. And that the strategy that when you have a strategy in place, it helps you really adapt quickly.
Absolutely. And so as you kind of think about, you know, your leadership journey, I know you've worked for some really great leaders, and I was delighted to be able to meet Tom and even just sit under his leadership for a day. He's had so many great connections in the community. But I'm curious for you, as you think about, you know, leadership, what is a characteristic that in your mind, you know, great leaders should possess? And is there somebody in your, you know, your story that has really been able to be that example for you on that characteristic, like a good role model?
That's a great question. I think, you know, a great characteristic, there's so many characteristics a great leader needs. But one thing they have to have the ability to do is to really shoulder the burden and make decisions. But how they go about making those decisions and choices for the organization or the region is also very important. There's a proverb that I think about quite frequently, and it says, if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. And the leaders that I really admire are those people that are able to take a vision, but shape it with the input of their team, the input of their community, and really build consensus and buy-in and move a group together. And we've seen that work on many levels, you know, in our community with, you know, Governor Cuomo's regional councils. Those started in about 2012, but also in our own team building here. And it's really where you are able to establish a common vision and then have people working off a common plan and speaking to a community with a common voice. That's really what inspires me. And people who are able to do that and drive teams forward where you've incorporated everyone's individual insights and input and have a diverse thoughts and ideas built into that plan and have built one vision and one buy-in, I think is incredible.
Yeah, I love that proverb. So let's talk about from the flip side of that. You know, we've all worked for individuals or seen individuals that, you know, one characteristic has really kind of been a derailer for them in many cases, you know, that either was a moment in their leadership where something happened and there was like this defining moment where that characteristic really impacted their career, or maybe just over the long haul, they had successes, but didn't really have a very good reputation following them. Is there a characteristic or a trait that you've really noticed that has negatively impacted a leader's career? And how do you personally make sure that, you know, you, for Jenna, that character isn't attached to your name?
Right. That's a great question as well. I think that particularly new leaders or leaders that are in new positions sometimes feel like they need to lead by dictating, or they have to have so much control over an organization or an issue or a topic or control of a plan that they tend to micromanage. You know, I think good leaders set their ego aside and have humility, and they really work to build the team up. And when people are really dictating an activity or trying to micromanage, it really takes away from that like I had mentioned before, that vision and buy-in. I do think that when leaders are new, they tend to gravitate towards some of those activities in particular. So, you know, for us, and that's where as an organization, we really work to build our planning together. And when you hire and when you put together your team, you pick people who really augment the strengths of the organization, and you need to really value their independent talents and experiences and incorporate them. I think that's what's a really critical aspect.
I love that. And I think you're so dead on with that. And it just really strikes me that, you know, good leaders tend to be able to bring those groups along and do so in a way that it's not just all about them. And they are, you know, not they're sharing in that limelight, but not owning every success as their own. And I love that.
I think early in my career, when I had just started out, I was working in the marketing department of an engineering company. And one of the head engineers said to me, "Hey, you're getting a great opportunity here to sit in all kinds of meetings and overhear great discussions. Oh, don't take notes on the meeting. Look at how people are acting and what they're saying and how they present themselves. And start making your own notes about what you see and what you value, the ways in people interact, both good and bad." And it really came to light for me, the folks that were sharing the most information and encouraging ideas were the ones that really stood out and that I gravitated to. And I think in my career, that's been one of the things that I've then tried to incorporate, is to really take other people's thoughts and ideas into account and make sure that everybody is contributing, is part of the discussion, and really set the table in types of meetings for really great discussion.
Yeah, I think that is incredible advice for, especially, you know, we have a lot of people in our listening audience that are really emerging in economic development. You're still relatively young in their career in economic development and have aspirations to continue to grow as their leadership opportunities are unfolding in front of them. And I think, you know, often you can really, really get focused on becoming really technically savvy and keeping up with, as you said, like what's happening in the meeting, like what are you taking notes on, and forget that part of growing in your leadership is also spending time developing yourself as a professional. And so there's a whole separate set of note taking on how do you carry yourself in a meeting? How do you carry yourself in these different opportunities, and how do you become a person that has that executive presence that people just naturally want to follow because they're able to articulate their vision, they're able to bring people along, they just have what it takes. And some people are born with it and some people have to develop it. But in any case, you have to continue to work on it. And so having that separate notebook of not just what's going on in the meeting, but what's going on with the people in the meeting that makes them amazing leaders, I think is incredible advice for people who are listening today. You definitely want to do that. And it's a very worthwhile endeavor to do that. So as you think about, you know, that's one piece of advice that somebody gave you in your career. And I think something that you've said, you know, you've continued to do as you continue to grow professionally, but what are the other ways that you're continuing to invest in yourself and your own leadership? Are there books that you're reading or podcasts that you always listen to or conferences that you don't like to miss as ways to kind of keep yourself current and relevant as a leader?
I think that's really important to you know, as I mentioned, a characteristic I think a good leadership possesses the ability to evolve and be constantly learning. And that's also about being a constant listener and a consumer of information. But beyond that, I think you really need to work on continually building your network, both within your community and with economic development professionals and site selectors across the nation. It's really critical. And to be able to take feedback, really honest feedback, and absorb it, and constantly, you know, check your ego, check your humility, and be open and being receptive, because we're all not perfect and we all have to continue to grow. And so listening, whether it's to your board members, your partners, your team, you know, leveraging that network. I've been fortunate to have some really good mentors throughout my career that have, you know, really shared insights into my own personality that have helped me grow. I think one unique thing in Buffalo, and maybe many other communities have it, is that we have a Leadership Buffalo and a Leadership Niagara organization that helps you really take a look at yourself and how you can evolve as a leader and what values you have and how to grow and expand those values while at the same time expanding your network.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying is, you know, keep doing the things that brought you success in the beginning and keep refining those skills and being a part of those groups that are Leadership Buffalo and Leadership Niagara are amazing ways to not only build your network, as you mentioned, but also to continue to refine those skills that are so critical and so important for leaders. And we often think once we have them, we don't lose them, but you can get really, really rusty. And each phase of your leadership requires you to use certain skills more than others. And you don't want to let any of those leadership skills get rusty just because they're not the ones that are demanding the most of your time right now. And so being in situations where you're continuously having to ask yourself, like, am I a really good manager while also being the person to set a vision? And am I a good mentor to other people? You know, those are great ways to continue to invest in yourself. And I'm glad to hear that you have a strong network of individuals doing that in your region and helping people along that journey.
And then, as you mentioned, you know, with podcasts, we also started our own podcast last year. And just learning how to put the podcast together, you know, we learned so much just by having different guests on the podcast. That's been really exciting and another way for us also to share our story. So I think, you know, learning how to communicate, especially in today where people consume information and messages in so many different ways, it has been exciting. And I think most people that I see in CEOs or leaders that are successful are constantly reading as much as possible and learning from others. I'm a big consumer of biographies. I love them. Right now, I just started Fool's Errand by Lonnie Bunch, and it's about building the National Museum of African American History and Culture. And, you know, a topic like that where they brought together people who obviously were so into that topic. And they really needed to do justice to and build a vision that incorporated so many probably different people's ideas and passions and focus. And I'm sure there was so many different perspectives about what this center should look like and how then you package that. I think that's such an amazing story from an economic development standpoint to hear about and learn from.
That sounds like an incredible book. I'm going to have to check that one out myself. Hey, I just really appreciate you being on the podcast today. And I'm going to end with one last question to be mindful of your time. And I like to end with this question because I think that, as you know, I believe that economic developers are just an incredible group of humans that are balancing so much pressure coming from so many different directions and do so with such grace and poise and, as you said, you know, humility, and are doing amazing things in their communities to help bring more jobs and more investment and more vitality. And so I like to hear from the economic developers that we have on the podcast about, you know, big wins in their community. And it isn't always just the hugest job announcement, but if you could think back on your career so far, What's the project or thing that you've worked on that you are most proud of?
That's a tough question because we do get to work on so many unique projects and unique opportunities. But one stands out in my mind. I was loaned out by our organization to one of our partners through in way back in 2014. The state had identified that we really needed to make a big spark with our entrepreneurial sector and, you know, have the catalyst for that. And they determined the best way to do that was to launch a massive startup competition with significant prize money of $5 million. So in year one, they were just putting the team and the organization and the structure together. And, you know, I was really honored to be part of that. But it was an overwhelming task because nothing like this had existed before. We didn't have a framework and we really were architects of this initiative. And to be on the ground floor of that, to work with so many unique and wonderful people in the community and to build something that is now going into its sixth year of the competition and to stand back these many years later and look at what a success this has been and how far our entrepreneurial ecosystem has grown has really been incredibly rewarding. But I'd say really being able to play, you know, my own small role in that, but moreover, just seeing the tremendous results and long-term impact in our community. I think there's nothing better than that feeling.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. I am really glad you brought up that example because, as you know, one of the things that we were able to experience when we were in Buffalo was getting exposure to that competition and the whole 23 North concept. And just so you know, it not only is a best practice that economic developers that are trying to do some of that entrepreneurial ecosystem building should definitely check out because Buffalo is doing it really well. But I also ordered my first pair of Forsake boots.
Awesome.
And I know that that is a company that's near and dear to the Buffalo region because they are in that very ecosystem. And I saw the boots there and I now will have them rocking on my feet in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
That's wonderful. They are so nice and light. And just seeing, you know, all these individual stories of these wonderful entrepreneurs, you know, living their dreams and building success. And for us as economic developers, whether we're attracting business or helping startups, that's what it's really all about. And looking around and saying that, you know, these folks are our neighbors and all we want to do is enable their success. I mean, that's what I think this career is all about.
Absolutely. Well, Jenna, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I certainly enjoyed our conversation and I look forward to many, many more conversations with you as you continue to promote and grow the Invest Buffalo region.
Thank you so much, Carla.
What an amazing opportunity to connect with Jenna. I hope you took away some insights from her leadership journey and some of the exciting things that they're doing in the region that she is serving in Invest Buffalo, Niagara area in New York. Hey, everyone, I am delighted about next week's interview. You're going to get a chance to hear from Megan Lucas. She's from the Lynchburg Regional Alliance. For those of you that don't know Megan, you are in for a real treat because she is full of energy. She is smart. She's a little sassy. And she's just an incredible female economic developer who's leading an amazing organization. And I just really enjoy every time I get to hear from her, learn from her, and just sit under her leadership. So you're definitely not going to want to miss next week's episode of the America's Jobs Team with Megan Lucas.